shaking, and it was scary.
We don't have any power, no electricity, and no water.
Stories keep coming back in. It's worse than we thought. It's worse than we thought. So we're just reeling back from all that.
Voices there from Joplin, Missouri. Again, at least 116 people are confirmed dead after a tornado on Sunday night tore through the town in southwestern Missouri. We're joined again by Brian Stelter, reporter for our partner, The New York Times. Brian, you've been there now, and I think you've probably been up all night, and you have you're hearing incredible stories of people, not just in terms of what they experienced when the tornado hit, but in the hours after.
The hours after have been in some ways even harder. That's when the situation sinks in. I was talking to a couple who were able to frantically get into a grocery store just before the tornado struck their block. They were able to take shelter in the frozen food area along with 50 other people. And it was one thing to get out of the rubble. They were able to do that Sunday night. They actually said it was harder Monday going back, taking pictures for the insurance company of their ruined car outside, because that's when it sunk in. And that's when they looked all around them and realized that it wasn't just the grocery store that had been hit. It had been many of the landmarks in their town. We don't have tornadoes often strike through the heart of a downtown area, but that's what's happened here. And I think that's what's taking time to sink in here.
And you also have stories in your great reporting, which is at the New York Times website, on people, ordinary citizens who were trying to help with the rescue effort, searching for victims, searching for not just survivors, but victims as well, and just really having a hard time handling that.
No, that's absolutely right. There's been probably chaotic, organization in a way. I see a lot more volunteers, random people that have come to help than I've seen actual organized government response. It's probably common in lots of small town disasters when people just can't help but come down and help or try to help. In those cases, though, you also get situations where people don't exactly know what to do. And so spend some of the time tonight sitting at the corner of 20th and Main Street, where there's five or six people, nurses, doctors, who have all these supplies, all this medicine, all this free medicine they want to give away, and they just can't get the word out. There just aren't enough people, there aren't enough survivors getting to them to get those supplies out. So that's what I mean when I say it's chaotic organization.
Well, and one of the places hardest hit was the hospital, where I understand that the tornado hit the hospital directly and stayed over the top of it for 1 or 2 minutes. And many of the employees at that hospital say that they had very little warning time in order to try to get patients to safety.
That's right. There's a man named Tim Randolph that I spoke to, I guess at this point, yesterday evening. He was at the hospital. He had one broken rib, so he was having that taken a look at the emergency room. He said that when the storm was approaching, people were told to stay in their rooms. Their rooms all had windows facing the outside. And then all of a sudden, there was this giant vortex that blew the windows in, blew the bed on top of him, he said. And he had to flip it over, get up, and then get into an inside hall. Hallway, an inside room without windows. He said that it was like the air was sucked out of him at that moment. And, from that story, it indicated to me, even if some people were able to take shelter in advance, there were others in that hospital that were not able to. And we heard some pretty horrific stories yesterday about blood being splattered on the walls. When I walked by the hospital, I got as close as I could before I was pushed away by security. You could still hear these drones, these noises in the background. I couldn't tell if they were respirators or some other type of emergency equipment, but it was as eerie as you can imagine. It's almost like a haunted house.
And then, of course, the hospital lost their communications. Many of the defibrillators went down. They lost their power. Their generators were ripped out. Some patients died simply because they were in critical condition and they lost power.
That's right. I actually think it's remarkable, though, that we have reports of only 5 deaths at the hospital itself. Having looked at that building, I would have imagined it was much higher. The building actually was briefly a refuge Monday morning. There's been these storms going through, as we talked about earlier, and so some rescue workers took shelter in the hospital. They were amazed to see that the fish tank in the middle of the atrium still was working and hadn't been shattered, and the fish were still swimming around.
What went through your mind when you tweeted, Jared, Jessica, okay, Mike, Madonna, okay? You saw that spray painted on a wall?
It looks like New Orleans after Katrina. It conjures up emotions of disasters, large and small, the same way that on the local radio stations, people are calling in this morning describing their missing grandmas and grandpas, and it reminds me of the flyers after 9/11 in New York. These are visual versions of those flyers.
Brian Stelter is a reporter for our partner, The New York Times, reporting to us, from Joplin, Missouri. Thank you so much, Brian.
Thank you.